Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, March 5th, 2014, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I know. Let's take an audio field trip to Long Island, New York, to visit with one of the most interesting and provocative men I have met in a very long time. He is the author of a series of books about men, the Men Talk book series, which captures and covers some of the most interesting and funny aspects of us men folk. He is unabashedly controversial, but his truth cannot be denied. In a minute, the incomparable Tim John Peterson will join us. But before he does, I want you to prepare yourself to be bowled over, because I'm pretty sure that he will be treating us to the full force of his signature sex wisdom. Buckle your seatbelt, sex fans. Tim invites you to visit him on his site, mentalk.org. You will absolutely want to check out his Tumblr site, mentalkbookseries.tumblr.com, and he's on Facebook and Twitter too. For your convenience, there will be links to all of these sites, as well as links to where you can purchase his books in today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick Stockroom because it's just so damn fun. And, I might add, easy. Yes, sir, sex fans, now you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer, that's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You will be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Hey Tim, welcome. Thank you for schlepping on over to drdicksexadvice.com. I'm so delighted that you were finally able to join me for this Sex Wisdom podcast. I've been dying to have you on my show since you introduced yourself and your books to me a while back. But like my mama always used to say, good things come to those who wait. So now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the really nice people?
Yes, thanks. Thanks for having me, and hello to everybody.
Good, good, good. And I know this is going to come as a bit of a shock, shrinking violet that you are and all, but I'm pretty much can guarantee that there's going to be a load of big fat perverts in our audience, too. You want to say hello to them?
Hello to everybody, perverts and regular people.
I consider myself a pervert. In fact, I did a speaking engagement not too long ago, and I used that word, and some people got really upset with me, and I said, you know what, I worked really hard to desensitize that. So I own it, and it's my vocabulary, so neener, neener, neener. Anyhow, you sent me two of your books, Men Talk Sex and Gay Men Talk, and my life hasn't been quite the same since. I've been salivating for you to visit so that you could explain yourself, sir. I mean, this stuff is so rich, I couldn't possibly keep it all to myself. So what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy it. It's very, not to be funny, but it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's it's very raw, and that's kind of how I envisioned it, to be very real and cut and dry, honest. It's kind of my writing style, actually, which is bare bones, to the point. And in truth, it's better that way because it holds your interest, and it's not verbose, it's not wasteful.
Yes, I really like it. It's very spare, which makes it all the more poignant, it seems to me, because, you know, the stuff is, like, right there, and you don't have to search around in somebody's, you know, editorializing or judgments, you know, to find the nut of the thing. So you introduce your books, and I might say that these two books that you sent me are just two of the five in the series. This way, the Men Talk book series captures and covers many of the more interesting and funny aspects of men's lives. It's a collection of thoughts and experiences of men I've come across in my life, as well as my own. No one famous, all anonymous. The books are funny, hot, insightful, touching, gross, and sometimes offensive. So in other words, just like the men folks ourselves, huh?
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, because really it's to each his own in a lot of ways. Like, for instance, that's what's so cool about this book, because there's something for everybody in it, and not everybody will relate to every quote.
Right.
I don't think you can write a book like that.
Yes.
So what you might find some of the quotes very stimulating, while others are neutral, or some are kind of offensive or even gross to you.
Right.
Another person reads it, and they read about a partner or a person who is into water sports,
mm-hmm.
or scat, or I'm just using some of the more intense
yes.
forms of connecting. There are thousands, maybe even millions of people that take part, and it's really hot for them. And so that's in there. And I think it's interesting that you can look at that and see that somebody is into that, and then another person reads it and they're like, yeah, there's other people like me
mm-hmm.
that love this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you identify yourself as a former therapist, and I understand that you practiced in several different settings. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, I was a mobile therapist, and I worked with kids and families, you know, troubled kids.
Right.
Rotten.
Basically.
Well, they're not rotten, they're just...
Rotten behaviors.
Yeah, they're tough. Some of them are tough,
yeah.
tough to like and love, but, you know, that's kind of part of it. And
I
worked in a hospital on an acute unit, lockdown,
mm-hmm.
so, and that was kids and teens, and I also did drug and alcohol work.
Wow.
So I'm pretty well-versed in that. A lot of people in my family have that. I think that's common anyway
sure
in
enough.
Most people's families.
Yes, absolutely. So why did you leave the profession, may I ask?
I got transferred, and I didn't like my new job, and I said, I'm out of here.
Well, I like that.
They said, well, we hired you, and you've got to be flexible. And I said, no, I don't have to be flexible. Nowhere during the hiring process did you say you might move me.
Uh-huh.
So I looked around and I thought, I'm just gonna do my writing for a while, and that's kind of what I've been doing.
Very cool. You go on to say about your books that the basic premise is that men can pick up any of these books and see that he is not alone with his thoughts or feelings, fears, pains, and desires. It is meant to entertain, validate, give insight, and stimulate the reader. A woman can read it and see what's going on in the minds of men, and they can learn about the thoughts and feelings that men often keep to themselves and rarely share with other men even. So this gets to the nub of why I thought your books were so amazing. Unlike so many other therapists who write books, you do not editorialize, nor do you judge. You don't try to explain, you don't try to gloss, you just lay it out there. And the stuff you quote is raw, unabashed, and often hilarious, as we've already mentioned. But I often found myself cringing, as you suggest, with embarrassment, too. Not because I couldn't believe my eyes, but because I know these men, and some of them are me.
Oh, which ones?
that's for you to find out. So there you go.
That's fine. That's I have no problem with you keeping secrets.
Thank you. It's my fucking show. So there.
And I appreciate that you notice that it's not all spelled out. I kind of meant to do that with the writing, not give all the answers. It's interpretive.
Yeah.
At times there are answers, but most of the time it's just an experience or a thought, and you kind of look at it and do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to dumb it down or make it too easy.
But, and you know, and we are that. I mean, men folk are that. I mean, we're this conglomeration of all of these kinds of things, and oftentimes very conflicting, you know, feelings and, you know, desires and thoughts and stuff like that. And you've captured that enormously well. I mean, and in fact, you kind of jumbled them all together so that, you know, it's it's really, you know, like having a really nice, you know, God is a fluffy puppy thought, and then after that, something really disastrous. You're just like, whoa. So I thought that was really amazing.
You're on to me. You picked up on my writing style. I hear stuff, and I have to tune it.
Uh-huh.
So it's impacting, meaningful, touching, and it's got to be quick. But also, my book is meant to cause you to keep you off balance in a way.
Right.
But like you noticed, one quote is very touching or loving, not too much loving. Because that's anybody can do that. Yeah. I wanted to write stuff that was more in your face and more intense.
Yeah.
And you see that more in the big book, the Men Talk book, which is really, it's got everything. It might be politics,
yeah,
and it might be poop talk,
yeah,
or eating that, which is part of solids, liquids, and gases. That's another.
Oh, I know. I hope to get to talk about that in turn. So, are you going to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, you're onto that. That's kind of my style. It's a mixture, and it's a mix up, and also I appreciate that you found that it's not judgmental, because that's a major theme that I've worked on in myself, and I also really mean for that to come across in the writing, that whether, and I'll use the more intense stuff generally, because most people are judgmental about that. I don't judge about that. And even if you were into something more intense, there's no judgment.
Right.
My thing is, what works for you is what works for you. And I wouldn't even say, even if you're, as long as you're not hurting somebody, because that could be part of it if you're into S&M.
Yes, well, that of course is consensual kind of hurting, but I see where you're going with that. So because you preserve the anonymity of the men you quote, not even offering a shred of evidence as to who might be talking, the quotes take on a universality that is pretty unnerving. I mean, if you preface some of the quotes with the description like, this guy is under the influence, or this guy didn't make it past high school, or this guy's a racist, or this guy hated women, I would have been able to say, thank God, I'm not like that. But I couldn't, you know, because, you know, they're very educated, there's cultured people who have these kinds of outrageous thoughts, and both you and I, as therapists, have encountered those people.
Yeah, that's a very nice point that you make. I think it leaves something to it to not qualify it with gender or age,
right,
or
right,
culture, race, and that is even more of an issue when you look at the main book, which is Men Talk. And like I said, the main book, it's got sex, but it has everything. Politics,
right,
pop culture, and drug and alcohol stuff, raising children, parent stuff. So that is a really nice mixture. And there's a little bit of judgment in that in terms of, let's say, criminal politicians. And I only say that because that's one that I've struggled with myself. It's not that I'm judging them. It's that I am I'm concerned about the impact that they have on our
right.
our lives.
Right.
They've got power,
right.
and their power can hurt us all.
Right. So they are in a position not just to think these unfortunate thoughts and, you know, have these unhappy feelings, but they, because of their feelings and thoughts, they impact society. And, you know, someone needs to call them out on that. I think you're absolutely right. I would add church members to that, but there's a good reason for me to say that, because I was a Catholic priest for 20 years. Not a happy association, but nonetheless, here we go.
Oh, so there was a chance you... You scored a lot of...
You could say that, couldn't you?
You weren't necessarily lonely. I'm kidding, of course. That's a generalization and...
a stereotype, and, which, and, of course, we all know stereotypes are, you know, based in reality, or they wouldn't be stereotypical. So, there is that.
And from my perspective, I take truthfully, I take a very existential approach to life,
yeah.
Experiential.
Yeah.
So, I am not I'm not judgmental about the Catholic priests and the pedophilia and basically the rape, because from an existential point of view, I'm not really into black and whites or goods and evils or goods and bads. I'm into like an experience that you've had, and you can kind of label it in a way, or just look at it as a part of life or something that you experienced that was tough, but not necessarily bad.
Right. Well, if you're talking to the perpetrator, that's probably what he would say. I mean, it's a different story altogether. The person that was abused, because you know, I mean, that's a painful thing that may last with them for a very long time, and possibly to the end of their days, and can fuck up their lives considerably. So,
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, sure. right.
I would never invalidate, and I would never minimize. But there's a thing. I look at challenge, and I look at challenge is for me, and I'm only going to talk about me. Challenge works for me. Discord, discomfort. Why? Because that's how we often grow.
That's the crucible that, you know, as you say, our growth either comes from or it'll destroy us. Would you not say?
That's a really great point. And so, yes, a rape, being molested by a grown-up or by anybody, in period, that is certainly a potential life destroyer. And a classic example I use is, rape is clearly looked at as something horrible. Now, a woman is, let's say, as an example, a woman is raped, and she gets some help, and she starts a website, and she starts a center, and the center teaches women how to fight back
right.
during a rape, and it teaches right. them how to cope after, and it teaches them where to turn to
right.
after. And online, millions of people are helped with that.
Yeah.
So the rapist indirectly facilitates the help for millions of people. So again, if you look at it from
a cosmic level, then that certainly all makes sense. You know,
exactly. If you look at it from the big picture, it's not such a bad thing, and it might, who knows, maybe, I mean, it's not a good thing, but it turns out something amazing comes from something so tragic. Just like the hurricanes we had a year ago, people's lives are destroyed. Their houses are gone, but the carpentry business is booming, and thousands of people are making tons of money that were suffering financially.
Right.
So, anyway, you get the gist.
I do. So I think that your first book, Men Talk Sex, should be mandatory reading for anyone even slightly interested in getting involved with a person with a penis. And I'm hoping that one day somebody, perhaps you even, will write a companion volume, Women Talk Sex, because holy cow, do us men folks ever need that?
I wonder if they exist. I really, you know, I don't talk to enough women. And the thing is, you've got to be in a position where they're comfortable enough to really open up to you. So, like with me, I did massage for years, and I've known a lot of gay men, and they're very freewheeling with their. It's almost funny.
Yeah.
Some of their experiences. Gay men are very open with a lot of things, and a lot of things that are pretty intense. I never really got that. You know, I never really got that from women, and I especially never really got it from lesbians.
Right.
And like I've written, for me, they're like a secret society because they blend in pretty effectively. Unless you see them holding hands, or they're more of the masculine type of lesbian, and I'm just not around them, so I don't have the inside track on what a woman looks at.
Right.
And truthfully, I don't care. I hate to sound coarse, but I've got so much material.
I guess you do. Holy cow.
I get a man's perspective, and so it works for me.
Right.
But
so, could I prevail upon you to read some of the quotes that you've collected?
Sure. I've got. I picked out a couple of them.
Oh, good.
One of them is short. So the room smelled like man sex when we were done, sweaty, humid, and lubey with a touch of feces mixed in, which is. Which I thought was a great quote because
it is a fabulous quote. And how many people are going to listen to this and say, I've been.
Especially in the summer, you've got all those scents, and if you're dabbling in anal,
absolutely.
You know, so
there you go.
I've got another one that's a little bit, it's longer.
Okay, cool.
So I'm into porn. I've enjoyed it since I was a child, basically. Not sure if it's a bad thing. I don't let it get away from me or control my life. I don't watch it to the exclusion of other facets of my life, like partner, kids, and work. I don't watch it at work. I don't think I'm addicted to it. I don't spend any money on it or even own any. I used to feel guilt about watching it. It kind of has that creepy vibe to it. I'm trying to learn to be okay with the fact that I enjoy it. It's people fucking and sucking. I really don't see what the big deal is. Okay, that's the whole quote. And I have a lot of porn quotes from types of porn to watching to a person that watches porn and a person that is controlled by porn and a person that feels guilty about porn and a person that quit porn and how his life was impacted.
Right.
Porn is a big part of our lives, especially thank you to the internet. Because, as you know, us, our age, men our age, we had magazines, and then if you were lucky, you had Super 8 or 8mm, if you were lucky, and the selections. And then we lucked into videotapes, and even that was kind of creepy because you had to go to that creepy room in the back,
right?
Or buy them. But I grew up with magazines, and that was, and now you can watch it on your phone. I mean, there's no limit
while you're riding on the bus, don't you know? But you know that quote that you read, the longer one, really points to how conflicted, you know, men are about this. Leaving women aside for a moment, I mean, and concentrating just on us men folk, conflicted about, you know, there, because there's all this conflicting messages coming from society about, you know, this is bad, and, you know, this is, you know, this is a ripoff of women, and yet look at this, and oh my God, and, you know, you want to see even something more extreme, go over here, and, you know, and it can be a rabbit hole for a lot of people. And so it was curious to me that the guy that you quoted was, you know, had to, before he could get to the point of saying, be honest about his porn consumption, he had to give us all this information. You know, I don't let it, you know, consume me. You know, it doesn't, you know, ruin my family life. You know, I don't watch it at work. I don't buy porn. So he had to rationalize something that he clearly enjoys and, you know, probably finds very stimulating.
Very good point, but this, you wonder where. Again, it's like the where does it step over to addiction or obsession, and that's
a
thing for me.
That's a very individual sort of thing, you know.
Right, and I think for that person, they're trying to see that it's okay, but they also don't want it to be too huge a part of their.
Right.
Their lives, because
so they sense the danger that this, you know, this could consume if, you know, if one is not careful. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing. But, you know, I mean, driving fast, drinking, you know, recreational drugs, food, you know, all of these things hold opportunities, you know, to be consumed by it. I mean, and there's plenty of stimulus in the popular culture that invites us to do exactly that, to lose control, you know, to some substance or something. And, you know, and most men that I encounter, I suspect the same is true for you, you know, we're trying to be wary of that. We're trying to enjoy ourselves, but at the same time, we know that there's potential danger.
You think most men, because from my perspective, and I think a lot of people are on autopilot.
Yes. Oh, it's true.
Avoidance is your first choice. It's not even a choice. It's not a conscious choice. But what feels good? What helps you avoid life? Your relationship? Your internal demons? What helps you avoid your relationship? What helps you avoid your stuff? Like you just said, there's food, there's sex, there's shopping, there's TV,
and of course
there's internet addiction. There's
Yes. Of
course porn, and some of them are more acceptable. Porn is kind of acceptable, even though it's, you know, a lot of people look at it, but not a lot of people openly. You're not in public at McDonald's and saying, "Hey, you should have seen the porno video I was looking at on my phone."
It's a very private kind of thing, a solitary pleasure. I mean, we might talk about it, you know, at the water cooler kind of stuff, but, you know, a lot of that braggadocio is part of the male sexual thing. Oh, man, I could have, you know, I fucked all night kind of stuff. And, you know, that's what passes for, you know, sex education and sex talk for most guys.
Very good point. I think I get the... I never really got the impression that women talked too much about porn, and some guys definitely do. It seems like the younger generations are more in touch with that because they're growing up with it.
Yes. Like, and it's unavoidable. I mean, it's unavoidable in the same way. I mean, you trip over it nowadays as in the same way that as when we were young men, we had to search for it. I mean, it's just the tables have completely turned.
And it's not even porn. Any TV, you could watch Nip Tuck
exactly.
10, 15 years ago, and that was on regular TV, basically cable,
yeah.
FX,
uh-huh.
10 o'clock, and this guy has got a big Johnson, and he's sleeping with two women at once, yeah. Right there.
Right.
And that was 10 to 12 years ago,
yeah.
So...
It's amazing.
Anybody could have watched that, and it's in movies, and now it's like, I don't even watch regular TV shows that much, but it's just so common now. So they're really being hammered with it. And again, I'm not going to say it's a bad thing. I'm not going to say it's a good thing. It's just kind of what it is.
It is exactly that. And I think that's, you know, basically what I picked up from your books. It's, you know, you put it out there. If anybody's going to be making judgments about this kind of stuff, it's certainly your audience and not you. And I appreciate that. I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today. I don't suppose I could prevail upon you to come back and chat with us again next week. Could I?
I would love to. I love hearing my voice over and over again. I'm kidding. It's a pleasure talking with you, Tom.
It's like porn, isn't it? Isn't it, Tim? Be honest
good.
And shame
porn.
The devil.
It's not as great as porn, but it is great.
I love it, I love it, I love it. Okay, so before we go, would you give us your website address, walk us around a bit, tell us where we can find your books and buy them, because, you know, people should not be without these books.
That's very nice of you to say, and I appreciate that. The website is just www.mentalk.org, and there are links on there for all the books. They're basically on Amazon, and they're e-books as well as soft covers as well. Oddly, Men Talk Sex, they refused to publish that because they found it to be too racy.
Oh, wouldn't you just know it?
But the odd part about that is the other ones. They all have the same material.
I know, it's cuckoo.
So,
you know, it's got sex in the it's got sex in the title. People make I don't get me started. Besides, we're out of time. I'm going to pick this up next week, though. God damn it! And just for everybody's information, I will have links to mentalk.org, Tim's Twitter account, his Facebook page, and his Tumblr. Account. So until next week, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Thank you, Tim. Bye.
Thanks.
What a terrific show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this same time for part two of my chat with Tim John Peterson and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself, or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. And remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. How great is that? Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.